Good morning. We are in Ein Yaakov Vor on page Kuftet, paragraph Samach Vav. Read the Gemara again and discuss it further. Come back to something we discussed previously that I would have thought someone would have asked about. Gemara says, L'marbe hamisra ul'shalom ein keitz. Pasuk in Yeshaya. It's a nevuah about the birth of King Chizkiah. And as you can see there, the mem of Lemarbe is a final mem, or as the Gemara refers to it, a closed mem. Amar bitanchum darsh bar kapar b'tzipori mipneima kol mem shebe'emsa tiva p'tucha v'zos stuma. Why is every mem in the middle of a word open, and this one is closed? B'keish HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asot Chizkiah u'mashiach, because Hashem wanted to make Chizkiah u'mashiach, Sancheriv Gog Magog, and he wanted to make Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, who was besieging Yerushalayim in the time of Chizkiah, Gog Magog. Amram Midat Hadin Lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Midat Hadin said, "Ribono Sholam, Uma David Melch Yisrael Shamar Kama Shirot Shishvachot Lefanecha." David Melch Yisrael said many songs and praises in front of you. Losi to Mashiach, and you didn't make him Mashiach. Chizkiah, shasid lakol nesim alalu, Chizkiah, for whom you did these miracles, you saved him from Sancheriv and you cured him from his illness. He was the first person in history to recover from a very serious illness. He was on his deathbed and he recovered. V'lo amar lefanecha shira, he did not sing shira. Taseu Mashiach, you're going to make him Mashiach. Stop right there. So we've seen several explanations of what does it mean Hashem wanted to make Chizkiah Mashiach. I told you that we're going to see five altogether. One of them is going to wait until we get much later in the Gemara, and then we'll have to come back to it. The first one was simply that Hashem wanted right there, Chizkiah is in the middle of the first base of Megdash, before there have ever been four exiles, that Hashem wanted to make Chizkiah Mashiach then and there. That would be the end of history. Second explanation we saw was that it means that Hashem wanted to put Chizkiah away to use him as Mashiach later, seemingly that he would live thousands of years.
He would live continuously.
According to the commentary that mentioned it, Sanhedrin Tana, the idea was that he would live continuously. And we talked about the last year was, does Mashiach know he's Mashiach? Because if somebody knows that he's thousands of years old, might hint to him that he might be Mashiach. And the Gemara later says that Mashiach is sitting at the gates of Rome, and the Tana or Amora, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, went to talk to him. So that was the last year. The third explanation we saw, which we'll talk about more today, was not that Hashem wanted to make Chizkiah Mashiach at all, but rather that Hashem wanted to show wonders to Chizkiah like he will show to Mashiach. And he wanted to deal with Gog Magog in a way, like deal with Sancheriv in a way like he will deal with Gog Magog. Or that Sancheriv really would be Gog Magog. Apparently, the Mechames Gog Magog doesn't have to be the day before Mashiach comes, could be sometime removed. And so Sancheriv would be Gog Magog, and Chizkiah, but Chizkiah would not be the Mashiach, but rather he would have a wonderful life, miraculous life, like Mashiach would have. Those were the three explanations we saw. The fifth one I mentioned, it has to wait. When we get there, you'll see why. It needs more background information. The fourth one that Mr. Shem will talk about, not next week, because there won't be a shiur next week, but the week after next, is that Hashem wanted to make Chizkiah Mashiach ben Yosef, even though he's from the house of David, but he'd be Mashiach ben Yosef. So we'll have to explore that. Today, I want to go back to something that we talked about when we talked about Bar Kokhba. And I told you then that the Abarbanel asks, how could Rabbi Akiva think Bar Kokhba is Mashiach? Bar Kokhba lived during the time when Mashiach couldn't come. According to Abarbanel, as far as I can tell, Abarbanel is unique in this position. But according to Abarbanel, there is a time in history when Mashiach could not have come. That time has passed. We'll see exactly when it was. Well, not only Bar Kokhba lived in that time, but Chizkiah lived in that time. When, according to the Abarbanel, Mashiach could not have come. So Abarbanel naturally needs a different explanation of our Gemara. Now, we could say what he says about Bar Kokhba, which is that Rabbi Akiva believed that just like Hashem took the Jewish people out of Egypt early, Hashem could change his mind and bring Mashiach early. As we could say the same thing about Chizkiah, but we sort of get into the problem of the rules, the exceptions swallowing the rule. Like, then what does it mean Mashiach can't come? So the Abarbanel explains this Gemara differently, similar to what I just explained, which was the Ben Yoyada we saw last time. He says, this is in his commentary on Yeshaya, where this pasuk is, L'marbeam Yisra Olsham Inkates. Ha-ma'amar ha-hu amok b'avanato, that statement of the Gemara that Hashem wanted to make Chizkiah Mashiach is very deep, and I will explain it in the work Yeshua's Mashiach, which I am writing. That's this work here. But here's a summary of what I'm going to say there. He says, "Shirabu chasdei Hakadosh Baruch Hu im Chizkiyahu b'mas shasayim bo maniflot miyuchadot lemelach Mashiach lechom mechamotav." Hashem's kindness was very great with Chizkiyah, with all the wonders that he did for him to fight his battles, like he's going to do for Mashiach. That the Mashiach will not have to lift a sword. Hashem will just destroy his enemies without weapons, just like happened to Chizkiah. Chizkiah went to sleep, and when he woke up, Sennacherib was gone, was dead. Well, Sennacherib's army was dead, and Sennacherib was gone. brings a pasuk regarding Mashiach. Vika eretz b'shevet piv. He will strike the land with the rod of his mouth, uvaruch svatav yimidrashan, with the spirit of his lips, he will kill the wicked. So he says, "Lefi shekene yainan chizkiyahu im sancheriv lachen amru shebikesh Hakadosh Baruch Hu lasot chizkiyahu lechizkiyahu Mashiach." Rotzel lomar shayar tzonoi brach shiya inyan chizkiyahu im oivav kmo shiya inyan Mashiach im Gog u'Magog. Hashem wanted to make Chizkiah's situation with all of his enemies like Mashiach's situation with Gog u'Magog, because Chizkiah was similar to Mashiach in his wisdom and his understanding and his righteousness. Therefore, Hashem wanted to have all of Chizkiah's enemies be like this. However, when Hashem did it with the verse one, with Sennacherib, and Chizkiah didn't sing Shira, didn't express his appreciation, so then Hashem changed his mind. So Chizkiah is not worthy of this type of treatment. So that's the Abarbanel's explanation of our Gemara. In terms of this idea that there's a Mashiach blackout period when Mashiach can't come, the Abarbanel gets this from a Medrash called Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer. Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer is named after the Tana Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, one of the teachers of Rabbi Akiva, one of the great students of Yochanan ben Zakkai. And in our version, this is in chapter 28. In some versions, it's in chapter 29. It's listing the 10 nisyonos of Avram Avinu, the 10 trials of Avram Avinu. And it says, "Hanisayon Shvi'i, the seventh trial was Achar Dvi Ma'ela Hayad Var Hashem Al Avraham Machazeli Mor." After these things, after the Avram's war with the 4 Kings, Hashem appeared to him in a vision, saying, Al tira Avram, don't be afraid. So the Medrash says, L'chol ha-Nevim hayanir abba chazon laila, to all the Nevim Hashem appeared in a vision at night, ula Avraham v'chazon uv'mar'eh. To Avram, he appeared in a chazon, a vision at night, uv'mar'eh, and in a vision by day. This leads to a discussion of Avram's standing compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. When we say that there was no prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu, does that mean even before Moshe Rabbeinu? Or does that mean only after Moshe Rabbeinu? Okay. We talked previously about the Rambam's listing of different levels of Nevuah, and the Abarbanel suggests in the first chapter of the Sefer Yeshua Mashicho that this Medrash is the Rambam's source for the different levels that he sets out. It's a little bit tangential to why we're reading it now, but interesting how it ties together different things that we've talked about. So the Medrash continues, B'chazon minayin, how do we know that he appeared to Avram in chazon? Shemar b'machazeh limor, because it says here, he appeared to him in a machazeh, chazon, same root. Al tira Avram, anochi magelach, b'olam hazeh, schachar b'im od b'olam haba. Don't be afraid, I will be your shield. I will be your shield in this world, the Medrash says, and your reward is very great in Olam Haba. The Amar lo Avram al tirash, shemini magen lecha. Hashem said to Avram, don't be afraid, because my right hand is protecting you, shielding you. Al tira. Don't be afraid. Because my right hand is protecting you. Wherever you go, my right hand is like a shield in front of troubles. You'll have great reward in this world and in the next world. And where do we see that Hashem appeared to Avram in a mar'eh? Hashem appeared to him at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, and that was during the daytime. So mar'eh is the Abarbanel explains, mar'eh means the appearance of the Shekhinah, and chazon means like a dream, but it's a prophetic dream. So a whole story of some kind, as opposed to just a revelation of the Shekhinah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Oto alayla shenigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Avraham Avinu hu leil ha-Pesach. Yehuda says that night when Avram had this vision is the Bris Ben Absarim, the literally covenant between the parts where Avram, the Parshas Lech Lecha, where Avram cuts this, takes the different animals and cuts them in half, and that's the vision that he saw. So Rabbi Yehuda says that was Pesach night. And then Hashem took him outside. V'amar lo yesh b'cha koach lispor kol tzva shemayim, can you count the stars? And Avram said, is there a limit to your legions? And Hashem said, so your descendants will not be able to be counted because they will be so many. Rabbi Kiva says, Her'alo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avraham Avinu ben Abtarim Malchuyot Moshim Vovdim. Hashem showed Avram the various kingdoms that would rule and would be destroyed. Shemar v'yomer elav chali egla mishuleshet zo machut v'ich u'machut edom shi kegla dasha. Explains each of the animals that Avram took in this vision parallels one of the kingdoms. So the first one, the calf, parallels Rome. The second one, the goat, parallels Greece, going backwards in history. The third one, the ram, parallels Persia. And the fourth one, the bull, parallels Yishmael. Doesn't say Babel, it says Yishmael. Interesting. Barbara will talk about that. And then the Medrash goes on and says, Rabbi Risharshi Omer Meshuleshet Meshulashimiyu. It's referred to as an Eglam Meshuleshet, a three times calf or three part calf, and an Ez Meshulash, a three-part goat. What does that mean? So he says, because each of these nations will rule in Israel three times. First time, each one on its own. The second time will be two at a time. And the third time, they will all come to fight the son of David, Mashiach. Barbanel will explain that too. Then the Medrash, I'm skipping a little bit. Medrash says, Yarad ha'ayit alehem lefardan ula abdan. Then the vulture came down to consume them. Ve'ena ayit ela ben David shimshal ha'ayit. This refers to David HaMelech. Shemar ha'ayit savua nechaltili. In the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Kitzeit ha'shemesh. When the sun was coming out. Avram was sitting and waving his handkerchief over the birds to chase away to chase away the vulture until evening comes. So the vulture represents David, Mashiach, and Avram is sitting there chasing away Mashiach from morning until evening. What does that mean? Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria Omer Mikanat Alamech Ein Moshlan Shel Arba Machiot Elu Ela Yom Echad Mi Moshe Kadosh Baruch Hu. From here we learn that these four kingdoms will rule for one of Hashem's days. Amar Lo Rabbi Lazar ben Arach Vaday Kit Varecha. Rabbi Lazar ben Arach says, certainly, like you say, Shneamar, because it says in Echa Netanani Shomima Kol Yam Dava, Hashem made me desolate all day long, Chutz Mishtei Yedot Sha, except for 2/3 of an hour. Tidal l'chashu kain, you should know that this is so. Bo re'ek shashemesh notal l'vov marav shtei yedot sha'a, is when the sun sets in the west, 2/3 of an hour, tash kocheo v'ein nogalo, 2/3 of an hour before sunset, the sun is already, v'ein nogalo rather, the sun is already weakened and not giving a lot of light. Kach ad shlo yavo ha'erev yitzmach ben David oran sheyisrael. So too, 2/3 of an hour before evening, the light of David will shine. Shenemar vayel et erev ye'or, as it says in Zechariah, that towards evening it will be day. That's not the whole parak, but that's the part that we need. As I mentioned, the Barbanel wrote three svarim about things having to do with Mashiach, and one of them is Yeshua's Mashicho. And the first chapter he discusses this medrash. As I said, it's in our version, it's in chapter 28, but he says it's chapter 29 of Pirkei de Elazar, and as is his style, he starts with a lot of questions. So always a Barbanel style, ask a lot of questions and then answer them one by one. So I'm not going to go through all of his questions, just tell you some of his answers. First he asks, what's the nisayon here? This is a vision Avram had. The Medrash refers to it as the seventh of the 10 nisyonos, 10 trials. What is the nisayon? See, he says that the word nisayon is related to the word nes, which can mean a miracle, and it can also mean a flag. And he says that a nisayon is not for Hashem. Hashem doesn't need to test us to see what we're going to do because he already knows. but it's rather to raise the person's flag so that the people around him will see his greatness. And so that's one interpretation. So by showing Hashem, right, by Hashem showing Avram this vision, he's showing the greatness of Avram and Avram's descendants, that they're going to have this whole history. that's one interpretation that he gives. It's really also kind of a little tangential. According to Barbanel, this entire vision lasted 24 hours. And Avram's vision lasted 24 hours. Started... Rabbi Yehuda tells us that it was Lel Pesach. It started Pesach night. It started when we would start the Seder, Pesach night. In the middle of it, Hashem woke Avram up and took him outside to look at the stars. He actually went outside to look at the stars. And then he fell asleep again. It says that a slumber fell over Avram. And he slept. He had the vision continued until the end of the next day. It lasted 24 hours. Except that he woke up in the middle to actually go outside and count the stars. So Rehuda says that this was Pesach night. One reason, as I just mentioned, is that he wanted to tell us that it actually happened at night. And it teaches that it lasted 24 hours because the Medrash says that it was until the following evening. And the Barbanel says that this is a fundamental point to understand what this Medrash is telling us, which he will tell us. The second point is to tell us that the Geula will be a Nisan, which is a problem because this is Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. The Tana Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Geula will be in Tishrei. So how could that be that this Medrash in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer is saying the Geula will be in Nisan? Now, the truth is, I'm not really sure I understand what's bothering the Barbanel, because it's Rabbi Yehuda. It's true, it's in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, but it's Rabbi Yehuda who says that it was Pesach night, not Rabbi Eliezer. So, but nevertheless, he explains that when Rabbi Eliezer says that the Geula will be in Tishrei, he means that Melchemes Gog Magog will be in Tishrei, and as we will talk about when we talk about Melchemes Gog Magog later in the Gemara, that will end before Sukkot, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah describes how the Goyim will ask for a mitzvah, Hashem will give them a mitzvah of Sukkah, and the Nevi'im talk about with Saftorah on the first day of Sukkot, we read about how the Goyim will come to celebrate Sukkot. That's talking about that time. In fact, there are two Haftorahs on Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot and Shabbos Chol Hamoed Sukkot that allude to Gog Magog and the Goyim observing Sukkot and all these things tie together. And we will talk about that more later in the Gemara when we talk about Gog Magog. But so that will happen in Tishrei, but Mashiach coming and Tchias HaMesim will be in Nisan. That's how the Abarbanel explains. He then goes on and says that, so we mentioned that when it listed the four kingdoms here, it did not mention Bavel, it said Yishmael. And there's a question that's asked in general, why are the Arabs not included in the four exiles? So the Barbanel's position is that he also explains here the statement in Medrash that each one will rule separately, then two together, and then all four. The all four is when all the Goyim will come in Melchemes Gog Magog to fight the Jews. Again, discussion for a later time. The two by two is because of the four Goluyos, two of them, Bavel and Paras, Babylonia and Persia, are countries that later became Muslim countries. And two of them, Greece and Rome, are countries that later became Christian countries. So that's the two by two. There's an alliance of Bavel and Persia. There's an alliance of Greece and Rome. And he says that the reason Bavel is not mentioned here, but rather it says Yishmael, is just referring to the future when Bavel, which is Iraq, would be associated with Yishmael, would be a Muslim country. So it turns out that Yishmael is one of the exiles, but it's already counted through Bavel and Persia. The Barbanel continues that Avram was waving the kerchief. He was sitting in the morning and waving the kerchief until it was almost evening. In his vision, yes. There was the night, the part of the vision that was during the night. And then there was the part during the day, and during the part during the day, he was waving the kerchief to keep Mashiach from, keep the vulture, which is Mashiach, from coming. Why would he want to do that? And exactly what was the timing of this? So the Barbanel says, he points out that the Medrash says, Kitzeit HaShemesh, when the sun came out, Haya Avram Yoshev U'meinif Aleim B'Sudero. Avram was already sitting and waving his kerchief. So that tells you that a little bit before sunrise, Avram started to wave this kerchief. Why? So Barbanel says that the nighttime, the part of the vision that's in the night, represents a time when Mashiach could not come. It's night, period. Black, it's dark, period. Mashiach could not come. But a little bit before sunrise, Mashiach could come. So Avram already had to be waving his kerchief to, we'll see why. Ravanel says that when we say that Hashem's day is 1,000 years, common expression, Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem's day is 1,000 years, it does not mean, as we commonly think, that 24 hours is 1,000 years. Rather, it means 12 hours is 1,000 years. That is 12 hours of Hashem's watch, whatever that means, is 1,000 years. And another 12 hours is another 1,000 years. So when Avram saw the darkness of night, that was 1,000 years when Mashiach could not come. But a little bit before sunrise, Mashiach could come. A little bit less than 1,000 years is the time Mashiach could not come. How long?
A little bit less
because there was the darkness of night when Mashiach could not come. But Avram was already sitting before sunrise waving Mashiach away. That means that there's a little time before sunrise when Mashiach could come. So even though Mashiach could not come at night for 1,000 years, represented by the night, it's actually not a full 1,000 years when Mashiach can't come, but a little bit less. How long? He says 1 hour. The source for that, not clear. 1 hour, if 12 hours equals 1,000 years, 1 hour equals 83 and a third years. So the Barbanel says there are 1,000 years minus 83 and a third years when Mashiach cannot come. And after that, Mashiach could come. Let me hand out this timeline. There are three rows here. The first, each row is 1,000 years. Each row is 2,000 years, rather. This ties into Gemara that we talked about once before, and we'll talk about in more detail later, Dandaf Tzadi Zayin, that says that history is 6,000 years. The first 2,000 years are nothingness, the second 2,000 years are Torah, and the third 2,000 years are Mashiach. So if you look at the end of the first row, where it turns yellow, it says Avos. Avram was born in the year 1948, and he recognized Hashem approximately at the end of the first 2,000 years. So until then, it was nothingness, and then Avram recognized Hashem. Go down to the second row, and you see the red arrow, the first red arrow on the right, says, Bris Ben Abasarim. That's when Avram had this vision. And in the period of the Avos continues, then the Jews are in Egypt, then they're 40 years in the desert, then the period of the Shoftim, then the period, the green in the middle, is the period of the first Beis Hamikdash and the kings of Yehuda. And if you look towards the end of that light green, there's a gray box that says 3205, the exile of the 10 tribes, and above it, Chizkiah. So that's the time period of Chizkiah right there. After Chizkiah, so that's in 3205 from creation, in 3319, so 114 years later, is when Nebuchadnezzar comes to power. So Barbanel says that the period covered by Avram's vision starts in the year 3319 when Nebuchadnezzar comes to power in Babel, because that is the beginning of the four exiles, even though the exile did not happen until a few years later. But Nebuchadnezzar's coming to power is the beginning of the power of the four kingdoms. Mashiach cannot come, according to Barbanel, could not have come because this period is over, for 1,000 years minus 83 and a third years after 3319, which takes you to the bottom row, 4236. In the middle of that, you see, towards the end of the second row, Bar Kokhba. So Bar Kokhba was during that period. Chizkiah was even before the time when you would even think of Mashiach coming, because he was before the four kingdoms. Bar Kokhba is during the time that 916 and two-thirds years when Mashiach can't come, represented by the night in Avram's vision, which ends a little bit before sunrise. That's why Avram was sitting waving away Mashiach. We still have to explain what that means. According to Barbanel, the earliest time Mashiach could possibly have come is the year 4236, which corresponds to the year 476 of the Common Era, a little more than 400 years after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, a few years before the Talmud Bavli was written. That's, according to Barbanel, the earliest time when Mashiach could have come. Let's leave the chart and go back to the Barbanel. So why was Avram waving Mashiach away? So Barbanel says that we know there are two times when Mashiach could come. There's the end of days, and then if we merit, Mashiach will come earlier. However, if Mashiach does come earlier, it will not be with all the miracles. It will, and this is, again, a topic for another time, and we will talk about it, the concept of a natural coming of Mashiach versus a miraculous coming of Mashiach. And this ties into the whole debate over Zionism and the State of Israel. Will Mashiach come in a miraculous flash of glory, or could Mashiach come through a gradual process? That's a discussion for another time too. But the Barbanel says that Avram knew that that all the miracles that the prophets foretell about the coming of Mashiach will be only if Mashiach comes at the proper time, not if Mashiach comes early. Therefore, Avram didn't want Mashiach to come early. He wanted the full revelation of Hashem's glory. That's one explanation. A second explanation that Barbanel gives is that not that Avram didn't want Mashiach to come, but Avram's action. This is a prophetic vision. Avram's vision was prophetically telling that Mashiach is not going to come until very late. As we see, we're nearly at the end of the 6,000 years, and Mashiach hasn't come yet. So that the Avram waving Mashiach away is symbolic not of what Avram wanted, but of the reality that Mashiach will come very late. When will that be? So the Medrash says, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah said, it will be at the end of one of Hashem's days. And Rabbi Elazar ben Arach said, certainly you are correct, as it says in Eicha Kol Hayom Dava, that Jerusalem will be desolate the whole day. Chutz mishtei yadot, but actually it will be two-thirds of an hour before the end of the period. Two-thirds of an hour is, if 12 hours is 1,000 years, then two-thirds of an hour is 56 years. Therefore, says Yair Barbanel, 2,000 years, because it's not it's not 24 hours, which is 1,000 years. It's 12 hours, which is 1,000 years. So we have the 12 hours when Mashiach can't come. It's 1,000 years, or we saw it's actually 916 and 2/3 years. And then there's 1,000 years when Mashiach could come before the very end when Mashiach must come. According to Barbanel's calculation, 2,000 years from Nebuchadnezzar, who came to power in 3319, minus 56 years, so 2,000 years from then would be 5319, 56 years before that, two-thirds of an hour, would be the year 5263, which corresponds to to 1503 of the Common Era. That was in the Barbanel's lifetime. Barbanel died, I think, in 1508. So when Barbanel wrote this, he predicted that Mashiach would come in 1503. Mashiach did not come in 1503. Mashiach did not come in the Barbanel's lifetime. I wonder what the Barbanel thought. He did give himself a little wiggle room, because later he has a calculation where he says that Mashiach will come between, he gives the Hebrew years, but it works out to between 1490 and 1573. Again, Mashiach did not come between 1490 and 1573. Barbanel died in 1508, so he could have thought Mashiach will still come before 1573. What is very interesting is that the expulsion of the Jews from Spain was in 1492, which ties into another thing that we will talk about someday, which is that many of the dates when people predicted Mashiach would come, there was some catastrophe for the Jewish people, suggesting, according to some Svarim, that these were times when Mashiach was ready to come, and Hashem's disappointment that we weren't ready was reflected in some kind of catastrophe like the expulsion of the Jews from Spain. Also a discussion for another time. But also a discussion for another time is this whole concept of trying to predict when Mashiach will come. There's Gemara later that very strongly condemns such activity, and yet we find it's very common among Ramban, Abarbanel, many others. So we will talk about that at some point. But that is the Abarbanel's explanation of Bris Ben Abisarim, and the timeline of when Mashiach could not come and when Mashiach could come and, according to Barbanel, must come. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. So we will just have to continue learning and waiting for Mashiach. And with Shem, I will see you tomorrow.